So 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 to 20 is on the screen here for us. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So let me pray for Melissa and for us. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. And thank you for my sister Melissa. Thank you for her love for your word and her love for you. Thank you for what you've been speaking to her through this passage. And Lord, now we pray, come and speak to us through her and through your word. Lord, pour out your spirit afresh upon her. Encourage her heart. Lord, give us attentive ears. Pour out your spirit afresh upon us, we pray. For we love you, Jesus, and we want to see you more clearly and follow you more closely. In your mighty name, amen. Amen. Thanks.
Good morning, everyone, once again. Ooh, what a privilege. You know, I was sitting at the bottom. Now I see there's actually more people. I'm like, ah. So it's really a privilege, and I'll be speaking on the newness of Christ, but once he has made us new, how he then calls us ambassadors. And just a very disclaimer that as I'll be talking, I'll just be talking on the very core nature of who we are, the very core of our identity, because from that place, that's where we can become his ambassadors. So I'll be firstly talking about the newness of Christ and how he makes us new. And then from that place, I'll move on to how he calls us to be his ambassadors. So what I love about the Bible, literally, from the Old Testament, everything is pointing to the newness. Everything is new. And I don't know about you guys, but I love new things. There's just something about shopping, which just makes me so happy. But I remember a few years ago, I was so into new things. I wanted to move from one flat to another flat. Then I'm like, oh, I'm in my dream flat. And then after a year, I'm like, okay, no, I need another dream flat. So then I moved to another new flat. And then I thought this would make me happy, surely. Then I was like, no, is Pretoria my oyster in life? Maybe not a new flat, but a new country this time, Melissa. But I was just so obsessed about new things. But the thing is, with earthly newness, it'll be temporary. You will always need something to make you feel better, or you'll always be chasing the next thing. But Christ's newness, it is solid, it is true, and nothing needs to be added on. So even in the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah paints this newness so brilliantly. In fact, it's almost like what Paul is saying, that behold, a new thing is coming, a new creation springs forth. Do you not see it? But my personal favorite is in the book of Haggai, when the prophet says the latter will be better than the former. How simple is scripture? It just says the latter will be better than the former. It will be better than the former defeat. It will be better than the former conquest. Whatever which was in the past, what is to come, it is better. And this better is Jesus. Everything is pointing to who Jesus is. Oh, guys, I'll be smiling a lot because I love this. Everything is pointing to Jesus, but scripture is so clear that whenever they speak about the newness, there's always something in the past which has to be left behind. So as I'll be talking today, that was just the introduction. As I was talking today, I will be really just focusing on how he makes us new. And the first way that he makes us new, the question is, how are we made new? Well, this is simple. This is literally the gospel. This is the good news that Jesus came to die for our sin and take the death that we deserve. So the Greek word for sin is actually hermatia. And the word hermatia means to have missed the target. It means to have missed the mark. So it's no longer just talking about the earthly things, the sins that we can all count as bad and gloomy and what so forth, but it's where we have missed the purpose and we have missed the mark in our lives. Where we have missed the marks in the way that we feel, where we have missed the mark in the way that we think, and most importantly, where we have missed the mark with what we do with our own hands. So the illustration that the Greeks would use would be of an archer, and he would be shooting his arrow, and if he missed the target by a single degree, by the slightest movement, and it did not hit accurately at the center, they would say, hermatia, meaning, I have missed the mark. And when I heard this, I asked myself, oh my word, how many hermatia moments do I have? How many moments can I actually say that I lived accurately as God had designed me? Because before Jesus came, there was only one end result for us, and that was to be in hell. But Jesus came to die for all of those things which were leading us to death. He came to die for all of those things which would make us feel dead although we are alive. And he said freedom, and he said liberty. But what I love so much about Scripture, not only does he die for our brokenness, but Scripture paints it so accurately that he also went to take the keys and the authority. So where the enemy had the power, where he had the authority to take us out, where he had the authority to kill, to steal, and to destroy us, Jesus said no more. That does not have to be our story. So this is how we are made new. The good news, the gospel, Jesus Christ steps in for us where we could not have stepped in for ourselves. So as I continue, I'll just come to the bottom. And as we are speaking about this newness, how Jesus has given us this authority, I love it again how Paul explains it in the book of Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 to 14. So he says, we have now been transferred from the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light through Christ Jesus. And then I have the scarf right here, the scarlet robe. So let us pretend that this is the blood of Jesus, right? And Jesus has died for us. So as Paul is saying, he says, we have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light because of Christ. So this robe is the blood of Jesus, and it makes a clear distinguish. It makes a clear line. So this is the kingdom of darkness where I'm standing on. And we were all here. We were all broken. We were all defeated, needing of a savior because of all of our hermatia moments. But Jesus, in his faithfulness, in his love, he says, I have now transferred you from this dominion to the kingdom of light. So when we believe in Jesus Christ, we are actually transferred from one kingdom to another kingdom. This is how we are made new, because we are no longer in the territory of the enemy. We are no longer in his dominion. He no longer has power and authority over us. Because it was only Jesus Christ who could go to the kingdom of darkness, take the keys and the authority. You see, Satan knows he stands no chance over here. He would not even try to cross over because this is holy ground. And he knows that he will surely die if he even tries to cross over. So we are protected in this newness. We are sheltered in this newness. So now that we know we are new in Christ because we are in a new kingdom, we're in a new dominion, I don't know, there are new kingdom rules, okay? Things are different. And I know for most of us, it comes so natural for us to have the feelings of sadness, to have the feeling of brokenness, shame, guilt, whatever it is, those feelings come naturally. But then when he makes us new, we know that we have to change, but now the question is, how is this change? So again, Paul explains it so well that he says, it is no longer I who lives, but Christ in me. So not only have we been transferred from darkness into light, but now Christ is in us. So I love researching words so much. So the next word I researched was the word in. How simple. We literally use the word in our day-to-day speech. We know what it means. But when I was researching, the word in means to be enclosed by something and as well as surrounded by something. But that is still so limiting to what Jesus means to be in us. So I wanted to add another word that yes, Jesus is enclosing us from the attacks of the enemy. He is definitely surrounding us, walking with us everywhere we go, but he's also inside of us. He is inside of us. The fullness of God inside of us. The fullness of God enclosing us and surrounding us. This is so exciting because we don't even have to walk as the people we were because we have one who has power and authority living in us. It is so good because we have Jesus as our Redeemer and Jesus as our Savior in us. That means every single step we take, every single move we make, we don't ever have to feel condemned. We don't ever have to feel ashamed. We don't ever have to feel broken. We don't ever have to feel defeated. We don't ever have to feel outnumbered because the Redeemer and the Savior is in us. He is enclosing us. He is surrounding us, and he's inside of us. So that's just the one part of Christ in us. So like we said, we are transferred from darkness into light, and now we have the Redeemer and the Savior in us. But this part is my favorite part. I've been saying it's my favorite part, but this is my favorite part as well. That we know that Jesus, the name means Emmanuel. And Emmanuel is what? God with us. Oh, if we could just capture that. That God with us in us. God with us in us. The fullness of God. The fullness of God in his grace, in his love, in his patience, in his comfort, in his mercy, in his long suffering. The fullness of God, Emmanuel, in us. So we can even think how he was faithful to give Abraham and Sarah a miracle baby. That power in us. The God who parted the Red Sea for his people. That power in us. The God who spoke to David when he was in a cave and he was fearful. In us. The God who comforted Elisha when his leader Elijah had passed away is where? In us. So all of these stories that we read in the Bible, we can see them as singular events. But when Christ dies for us, they're all compounded and they're deposited in us. Like everything God is in us. We have so much power. We have so much authority. And this is our identity. Despite how we feel in situations, despite how seasons change in life, the fullness of God in us. Again, Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, that the same Spirit which resurrected Christ from the dead is in us. Do you understand? Not just as Emmanuel in us, but the same resurrection Spirit in us. If we could just comprehend how much power and authority we have because of who he is and how he has made us new. So just a bit of a testimony, two testimonies from my life where I had really, really been going through a lot. Firstly, 2023 was the best year of my life, but it was also the hardest year of my life because I was attacked by the enemy. So last year, the beginning of the year, March, April, May, around that season, I'd find myself going through an odd cycle of depression and anxiety. I was extremely broken. I actually did not, you know when you know Jesus, you know him well enough not to want to die, but you're like, if you could just not make me not feel anything. And I remember I'd wake up each day and I think, oh, here we go again. Like I have to do another day. And I felt so defeated. And I remember I reached out to a family member. And as I spoke to the family member, I found out that they are going through a lot more than myself. And then I tried speaking to my mother. And she ended up telling me how our other family members were going through a lot more. But she had been carrying everything. And I remember that day I just broke down. I could not handle it anymore. I could not carry it anymore. It was too much. That day, it was so awful. I will never forget it that I cried myself to sleep. But I cried so much that I woke up and I was still crying. Like I'd never done that in my life. Crying myself to bed and then waking up and still crying. But then as I was coming to the end of my tears because I had to read my Bible, because reading my Bible was still what I knew to do. And as I was like panting, like, okay, I remember the Holy Spirit asking me, why are you crying? And I thought, well, Messiah, you're a bit insensitive right now. I was like, how could you ask me how am I crying? But in case you forgot, let me hash out and lay out my misery once again before you. So I started saying, this is why I'm sad. This is what we're going through. And then after I'd hashed out everything, he said, okay, but what has my blood done for you? Who has the final authority in your life? And as soon as he asked me that, I remember just jumping out of my bed, the same bed that I was crying in, and I started praying, and I started declaring, and I started praising, knowing that God is with me, that the one who has overcome the world is the one who's living inside of me. And because of his perfect love, he has saved me, and he has redeemed me. And I started praying and applying the blood of Jesus over my family, what they are going through. And after a moment, I woke up and I was like, oh my word, the enemy has no power and authority to take me out as he was. Yes, he will bark. Yes, he will roar. Yes, he will terrorize, but he is nothing but a toothless liar. He knows he has no authority to take you out, so he will use so many tactics to make you frightened. But as I remembered and Christ reminded me who has the authority, I remember just thinking, oh my word, enemy, you have no jurisdiction over here. I have been transferred into the light. You cannot touch me because you don't belong in this dominion. So then after that, I started going out and I continued with outreaches. But then a few months later, which is still the same year, 2023, October, that's when I had moved from South Africa to Brighton, and I'd only been here for a month. And then my mother called me, and she said, your grandmother had passed away. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, not only am I going to grieve and mourn, but I am going to grieve and mourn by myself. And I will never forget that I had found out the news on a Wednesday morning before going to class. And I remember crying each day, until Friday, and I was just crying and crying because I was grieving and I was mourning my grandmother. But I remember waking up on the Saturday, I'm like, Lord, something has to change. I cannot be crying like this every single day. My friends cannot be knocking on my door with soup for another day. And I remember it was such a quiet moment. You see, this time I did not jump out of my bed, but God reminded me, not only did he die for my sin, but he died for my brokenness. Not only had he redeemed me from my depression and anxiety a few months ago, but he had also redeemed me from a broken heart. And he reminded me that because you have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light, and because the fullness of Christ is in you, your mourning, Melissa, will turn into joy. Although you are brokenhearted, not denying the condition, but my broken heart will not defeat me because the one who has overcome is in me, and he is a greater comforter than the pain that I believe and I know that I am going through. So Christ in us, the fullness of Christ in us. So after I had heard that, after I'd had that encounter with Jesus in the morning, I remember just messaging my mom. I'm like, okay, I want to send a video back home for the funeral. And she's like, oh, are you sure? I was like, yeah, I'll send a video. But I remember I'd sent a video, but towards the end of the video, I started praying for everyone who's mourning, and without even knowing whether they did it or not, I did an altar call for every single person who had a broken heart. And this is like moving on to the third point of Christ in us so that we can be his ambassadors. So I Googled again, what does the word ambassador mean? Guys, I always assume I don't know a single word. So I Googled, what does ambassador mean? But as I was reading up what ambassador means, it means someone who is accredited and who is approved to represent the king or the president in a foreign state. So it is someone who is accredited and approved to represent the king in a foreign state. So now this is the good news, that because of the work of the blood, because of Jesus Christ, he approves of us, he accredits us for us to represent him in this foreign world. So not only is Christ in us, but when he has made his home in us, he begins to shine through us. We begin to have the strength, we begin to have the same authority as Jesus has because he is the one in us. You know, I remember I'm from Pretoria, the capital of South Africa. Well, I'm not from Pretoria. I studied in Pretoria. But there are so many embassies. And whenever I walk past the embassies, I always see the cool cars, right? They always have such cool cars, and the ambassadors always make states for the foreign country. But I always found it crazy how much power that they have. They literally have the full authority, the same authority as the president, just in a foreign country. You will listen to what they say because they are actually ambassadors, and they have been accredited and approved by their presidents to represent them in another country. This is the same authority. This is the same power Christ places within us. He gives us his fullness to represent him. So when people see us and when people encounter us, it is not just little Melissa who's going through things, but they are encountering the fullness of God because he has approved and he has accredited me to represent him. So then I just want to make this illustration. If our volunteers could come up. So these are my volunteers. And just to illustrate what it means for Christ to live in us so that he can move through us so that we can be his ambassadors. So now I have conquered some things in life, right? I've went through 2023. And I see Suzanne, and I say, oh my word, Suzanne, are you going through a hard time in life? She really is. She was really going through a hard time in life. But I can say, Suzanne, I went through such a hard time last year. It felt like last year would have defeated me. I had so much depression and anxiety that I was walking around with. But I met a Savior who comforted me. And He allowed me to live in His dominion to save me. Do you want the saving love, Suzanne? But you see, the faithfulness of God is so good. He will meet you exactly where you are. Exactly where you are. But you just need to take a step of faith and believe you have been transferred into the kingdom. Will you transfer?
I will.
Amen. And then that was Suzanne. And then I will see someone else again. And I was like, oh my, you're going through a really hard time, right? I went through such a hard time last year. I mourned and I cried the death of my grandmother, and it felt so impossible to get over it. But in that mist, I met a comforter who comforted me, and He wiped away my tears, and He let me know that He's carrying my broken heart. Do you want to meet this, love? Okay, but listen, the blood of Jesus is so faithful. He will meet you exactly where you are, but you just need to take a step of faith and join this love. Amen. Amen. And just like that, we become Christ ambassadors, making His name known and increasing His territory. I love this part because this is where we shame the enemy. Because He gives us trials and tribulations, He makes us go through things to shame us, to break us, to kill us, to steal from us, to destroy us. But the blood of Jesus says, I have taken the power and authority, and now Christ is in you, and now He can shine through you. You see what I love so much, how I was an ambassador. It was not because of any, I don't know, supernatural thing I had. All I had was my testimony. All I had was my testimony. And because of my testimony, which was so true because of Christ in me, He could begin to shine through me. And this is the promise for all of us. That before we become the ambassadors we want to be, we need to be reminded of who we are at our very being. At our innermost being, we have the fullness of God in us. He has redeemed us, transferred us from darkness into light. But not only did He make us new and place us in a new dominion, but He placed the fullness of His Spirit in us. Amen. So if you are willing and able, could you please just stand up? And this moment, with all of our eyes closed and head bowed, just to allow the Holy Spirit to minister and to speak to us. Where you can ask yourself, where have I been living in the kingdom of dominion for too long? Where have I been living in darkness for too long? Where have I been living with a broken heart for too long? And still with everyone's head bowed and eyes closed. As I was preparing this word again, I just heard the Holy Spirit and I wrote it down. And He said, He wants to make your joy new again. He wants to make your joy new again. And if you find yourself in that place where the enemy had stolen your joy, but in a season of stealing your joy, in bravery, with everyone's eyes closed and head bowed, just to raise your hand, just to say, Lord, here I am. And you can repeat this prayer in your heart. Say, Heavenly Father, here I am. Broken, but here I am, Lord. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the newness you have promised me. Thank you that you have transferred me from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Thank you, Lord, that it is no longer I who lives, but you living in me. Thank you, Lord, that you are here to save me. And thank you that the work of the cross is complete. Nothing could ever separate me from your love. Amen.